Welcome back. We are still looking at matters arising from the chronology of the seals, and the pastor has touched a few, and we have a few more for him to comment on. Another matter arising is concerning this statement. You quoted a scripture, 1 John 3:9, that he that is born of God does not commit sin.
That's right.
And over and over and again, you've taught us that it means he that is born of God does not practice sin, does not find pleasure in sin.
Yes.
But a brother is still saying that's wrong, that the spirit cannot sin because the spirit is perfect. So 1 John 3:9 means that the spirit cannot sin. And his own scriptural reference is Hebrews 12:23. That says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, to the which are written in heaven, to God the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect.
What is it that perfects them?
He said the perfection, it has been done through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the perfection.
Therefore,
nothing else can be done.
Therefore, the scripture that says is not referring to you practicing sin or finding pleasure in sin.
Once you're a believer, you're already perfect.
He's saying your spirit cannot sin.
So that thing is talking to my spirit.
It's talking to your spirit.
So what is Ephesians 4:11, the fivefold ministry? What is it supposed to do? What is it supposed to
perfect?
Perfect the flesh.
So perfect the flesh.
Your spirit.
Not the spirit. So no, unless you answer that.
Okay, let me quote 1 John 3:9 so that our viewers will not be lost.
Yes.
This is a scripture we are referring to. 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. So saying that scripture is referring to the spirit.
Okay, but since you seem to be following his thinking, the man in 1 Corinthians 5. Yes.
It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication that is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you.
So, did he commit sin?
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Fornication.
So, how do you place it in line with what he is saying? It's not his spirit that committed the sin. It is his flesh that committed the sin. Okay, see the punishment.
For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present, concerning him that so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together,
this is the punishment you should give him.
And my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ,
what are you to do?
To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Why will the spirit be saved? Because Satan will torment him. I will then cause him to repent. If he doesn't repent, the evidence that is the seal of God is that he will repent.
I use the word may, may be saved.
Now, if you go to 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 7, you will see that particular man was restored. Are you saying that what was happening there was his flesh? He was restored. The same Apostle Paul that said he should cast him out told them again so that Satan will not take advantage of us.
That's right.
They should restore him back. You restore him because he has repented. You see, when you say the spirit of just men made perfect, it is what you see in Hebrews 10, which he acknowledges. The difference between
the old covenant
and the old covenant, the sacrificial lambs,
that's right,
blood of animals and blood of the Lord Jesus
the
Christ.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
For verse 4, why?
Hebrews 10:4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin hast thou had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. above when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, an offering for sin, thou wouldest not.
Yes.
Neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law.
Uh-huh.
Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God.
Uh-huh.
He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second.
Uh-huh.
By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ.
Once for all. Uh-huh. Mm.
And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool.
Now, maybe our brothers should understand this.
Hmm.
1 John chapter 1.
Yes, sir.
Verse 8 and verse 9.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Exactly.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Exactly.
If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Can you read some scriptures and not understand 1 John 3 verse 9?
Hmm.
You, there is something in you, the seed of God that is in you, which is the word of God that got you born again, is in you. You can't have pleasure in committing sin. There is something that now condemns you. The nature of sin is no more in you, which is actually your spirit man changed.
Hallelujah.
The process of redemption goes with changing your spirit. And the changing your spirit there is nothing but your test. Your test. So now your test is now clean. That's the perfection. Your spirit is clean. There are things now that you don't find pleasure in them anymore because your spirit is now cleansed by the word of God you receive. I don't know how else to explain that.
Does this play, or let me ask, the role of the high priest, Jesus Christ being our high priest?
That's right. So why is he the high priest? Now, you see, where we just read in chapter 10 now.
Yes, sir.
You know, we're trying to let us know the position of verse 11.
Chapter 10, verse 11.
Yes.
And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins.
Verse 11.
Okay. Yeah. But this man, he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool.
Good.
For by one offering, he had perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Yes. Now, there's something I'm trying to bring out here.
Yes, sir.
You know, we all know, every Christian knows that Christ is the high priest of our profession.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
What is he doing there now? In the position, he offers sacrifice on behalf of the people.
Mm-hmm.
He is still there now until the last person comes in.
Mm-hmm.
He is the mediator between God and man. This time, Hebrews chapter 6 tells us he comes after the order of
Melchizedek.
An unending priesthood.
Hallelujah.
Until, you know, so, of course, a brother does not believe in typology, so maybe type.
1 John 2, 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin,
we have an advocate
with the Father.
That is the scripture I'm looking for.
Jesus Christ the righteous.
Uh-huh.
And he's a propitiation for our sins.
Uh-huh.
And not for us only, but also for the sins of the
world. So why will he be our advocate?
Exactly.
So I don't know how we.
I think it's theology.
We are the one doing theology. You know, I think that's not even theology.
Because we are talking of simplicity of the gospel. This issue of your spirit is perfect, your body is sinning. I don't understand. It's complicating me.
Exactly, that's true, sir.
It's complicating me. But it doesn't end there, because he also spoke about the three works of grace, which really shook me. There are no three works of grace that any believer must go through.
Wow.
That Christ has done it once and for all. So I don't know how you can help us strike a balance.
I think his offense is the three works of grace. He is saying it has nothing to do with men. He mentioned Martin Luther, John Wesley. He said it has nothing to do with men restoring anything, that Christ has done the work.
Well, not for the sake of the brother, because that brother has had me several times, but for the sake of those who may be watching for the first time.
True.
In case you come across such teachings by that brother, it's unscriptural for him to say so.
Mm-hmm.
We all know the Bible scatters it here and here. Take, for instance, Romans chapter 8.
Romans 8.
Yes, sir.
Verse 29 and verse 30.
For whom he did foreknow,
yes,
he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son,
uh-huh,
that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Uh-huh.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate.
Now, those he predestinated,
them he also called.
They are the ones he called.
Mm. And whom he called, them he also justified.
Mm.
Now, he will justify you. Uh-huh.
And whom he justified, them he also glorified.
Then they are the ones he glorified. So we have glorification. The word glorification there comprises washing and baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You know, that is why he left those parables. That is why he left those parables, you know, in the Bible.
Yes,
now, if you look at Matthew 13 and verse 33.
Mm. Matthew 13, 33.
Yes.
Matthew 13, 33.
Okay. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven.
Leaven.
Which a woman took.
Is the kingdom of God is like.
Another one.
Similitude.
Type.
It's like unto leaven, yes.
Which a woman took and eat in 3 measures of meal. Till the whole was leavened.
He took what? 3 measures of meal. So how will our brother explain this parable? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So, and you have to take this and go to Mark chapter 4, the growing seed.
Amen.
For you to understand.
Amen.
You know, we are taking our time. How will he explain verse 44 of that same Matthew 13?
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when the man had found, he hid it. And for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field.
And then how will he also explain the next one?
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it.
Well, first and foremost, that brother does not believe in that there is perfection of the church as a body. And the perfection of the
individual.
He's hearing that for the first time.
There are over 25 years of ministry, 25 to 30 years of his ministry.
Of his ministry, he has
hearing
never
it for the first time.
There is nothing like the individual perfection and the church perfection.
Like the church perfection. So why do we have dispensations? So why do we have dispensations? So why, what are those 7 stars in the right hand of Jesus? The angels to the 7 churches. So was God talking to spiritual angels to those churches in Smyrna, in Pergamos, in Sardis, in Laodicea, and the rest, Ephesus? You see.
Now let me ask this question. It's technical. I'm going in his own line too. You can
say I don't even know how to explain.
can a ministry, maybe for the purpose of restoration, can a specific work of restoration be committed to somebody? Let's take Luther. No other person could come to do that blow except Luther. Are we saying that this ministry was actually committed to Luther's
life? Now, remember that from the standpoint of this brother, he, Luther's name is not in the Bible.
True. That's so
you can't use that to convince such
people. Yes. And
so you can't even, because such a brother will never understand Matthew 24. Okay. You know, Matthew 24 from verse 23.
Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the deserts, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto
this
the west.
This is how the coming of the Lord will be, verse 27.
For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son
then
of Man
Jesus
be.
Ended in verse 28.
For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together.
How will we explain this now to this brother? Because this is a dispensational talk. Dispensational revelation. The movement. Where will you call it the carcass?
Or the traveling of the light.
So that you will notice then why verse 44 yes, and verse 45, they were carcasses.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Matthew 13.
And people gathered around it. Then, history now lets us understand.
Yes, sir.
You know, that this is the person that fulfilled this prophecy.
Hallelujah.
That was what I was going to say. He has discarded church history.
You have discarded church history.
As if nothing happened.
And, you know, and then you will never understand why Christ has waited all this while. Because the seed that was planted at the Pentecost must be formed before the rapture.
Amen.
That is a signpost to the rapture.
Okay, so back to our topic for today, sir. Thanks for doing justice to all this. We're looking at events before the rapture. And the last episode of this particular topic, the pastor really took time and made mention of the major events, which he has just said now, forming of the fruits. The forming of the fruits. But we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue looking at the events before the rapture. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.